Okay, it is 4 o'clock, so I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Order in the court. Thank you all for coming. I do want to welcome everyone to the Savannah Chatham County Historic Site Monument Commission. It is July the 13th, 2023. Thank you all for being here. We do have a couple of quick orders of business before we proceed to the main agenda. We have two meeting minutes to approve. There is the May 4th meeting minutes, which I will entertain a motion if anyone has a motion to approve those.
I make a motion, Eileen, to approve the May 4th minutes.
Is there a second?
I second. This is Catherine.
And so without objection, the May 4th minutes are approved. We also had a special called meeting on the June the 20th. We need to approve those minutes as well if there is a motion.
I make a motion to approve the June 20th special call meeting.
If there's a second. Anyone? Nick seconds the motion. And so without objection, the minutes for the June 20th, 2023 special called meeting are also approved.
Excuse me. If whenever you motion or vote, please identify yourself. So I'm not sure if it was Eileen or Catherine that motioned the last one. Was it you, Eileen?
So Eileen made the first, made the motion, and then Nick, I think maybe Nick's mic wasn't on. And with that, I should actually welcome Dr. Nick Henry as the, one of the newest and also older members of the board, former chair of this esteemed commission. So welcome, Nick. We're happy to have you here.
Pleasure to be back.
Very happy to have you. He actually took his, did you bring your placard back? Cause when you left, you took the placard. I'm going to follow your lead and take mine when I leave. Okay. So without further ado, we only have one petition. We have two orders of other business on the agenda today. The first, on and only petition is the petition of Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Garden Club, for a fountain in Kavanaugh Park, and we'll have staff present, and then we'll have the petitioner.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members of the commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the petition. The applicant is requesting approval for a monument application part one, theme, location, and preliminary design to install a commemorative fountain in honor of the late Mary R. Myrick in the center of Kavanaugh Park within the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent neighborhood. For the applicant, the proposed monument is a minor monument in celebration of the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Garden Club's 50th anniversary. The fountain would be dedicated to its founder, Mary R. Myrick. It would be a lasting tribute that would stand the test of time and add elegance to the natural beauty of Ardsley Park. Regarding the theme, the relevant themes for this project include civic and institutional, social and humanitarian, and local history. For the applicant, Mrs. Myrick was a true friend of the city of Savannah. She worked to beautify many spaces in the city, including creating a garden on the grounds of the Savannah Widows Society and to the American Red Cross building downtown, establishing the Fragrant Garden for the Blind in Forsyth Park in 1963. She frequently offered her home at Wild Heron to the Chamber of Commerce and other civic organizations for visitors and smaller conventions. She was known in the city as the city's official hostess. During World War II, Mrs. Myrick held a Georgia state office. She was appointed by the governor to chair the Women's Division of Civilian Defense from 1941 to 1943. In honor of her civic work, Savannah Mayor John Rusakis declared June 12, 1978 as Mary Myrick Day. Myrick loved gardening, and through this love, she formed many clubs in Savannah, including the Downtown Garden Club of Savannah in 1969, and the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Garden Club in 1973. She became the president of the Garden Club of Georgia, and during her tenure, 538,702 trees were planted by the organization. Myrick was also the director of the Deep South region of garden clubs. While also president of the Garden Club of Georgia, Mrs. Myrick spearheaded the Keep Georgia Beautiful anti-litter campaign and had a slogan, Savannah's beauty is our duty. It was her lifelong commitment to beautify public spaces and especially areas that would lift the spirit of the less fortunate. For the applicant, on a grander scale, Mrs. Myrick helped to form a national organization of landscape design, Working in conjunction with an instructor at the University of Iowa, Mrs. Myrick created a partnership between landscape schools and garden clubs throughout the U.S. So regarding the location, the proposed site of Cavanaugh Park is relevant because Myrick's former residence can be seen from the park. And since she was a leader in the garden clubs and beautification measures in Savannah, a public green space is an ideal and relevant location. Some other site plan. And a few other pictures of this, of the park. For the design, the proposed designer of the fountain is Robinson Iron, who has a local example of the fountain in Lafayette Square, as well as repair work to the Forsyth Park fountain. The proposed material is cast iron, which performs satisfactorily in the local climate. And here are some examples of some of the work. The most locally would be the Lafayette Square fountain here. So the design elements include a female figure based on Flora, the goddess of flowers and flowering plants. Per the applicant, Flora symbolizes love, beauty, and abundance. She is associated with the season of spring, a symbol of hope and perseverance. A woman holding a water bowl represents giving life. Water is considered a symbol of vitality, renewal, and purification. The applicant also notes that the fountain will be an Art Nouveau design to match the style of the original lampposts in the park. So with that, staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommends approval to the City Council for the application of Part 1, Theme, Location, and Preliminary Design for the creation of a commemorative fountain dedicated to Mary R. Myrick to be installed in Cavanaugh Park as requested, because the project meets the standards in the master plan and guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. Thank you.
Thanks, Caitlin. I just wanted to say this is probably the nicest looking application that I've seen in the 8+ years that I've been on this commission. So I commend whoever put this together. There was a lot of obvious thought and effort that went into that. With that, are there any questions of staff regarding their recommendation? If there's no questions of staff, we could hear from the petitioner. Thanks, Caitlin.
Good afternoon.
If you could just state your name and yours.
Chris Lawrence. I'm the president of the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Garden Club.
Thank you.
Application was a joint effort between the members of our committee. Myself, design was Rose Marie, Veronica Soto, and Nora Misram did the copy, and Jan Bradley did the research on Mrs. Myrick. And Laura Stafford is going to be our budget finance coordinator on this project. So it was a team, and I appreciate their help. You guys
very, very nicely done. It was very nicely done.
Savannah. Why this theme is relevant to the community? Savannah is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. The downtown historic district with its 23 park-like squares largely retains the founder James Oglethorpe's original town plan. The squares in the parks of Savannah are the community's most beloved icons and are referred to as the crown jewels of Savannah. Each of the 23 squares honors individuals who made tremendous contributions to our great city. The Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent neighborhood is just as beautiful. This 400-acre neighborhood was inspired by Oglethorpe's plan. It's laid out in a series of grids and squares, has 11 beautifully landscaped parks and a tree-lined great mall. The parks are named for the mayor, aldermen, and a handful of key leaders of Savannah when the neighborhood was developed in 1909. The Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent neighborhood was listed on the National Historic Registry in 1985. The Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Garden Club would like to honor a local resident who devoted herself to preserving green spaces in Savannah. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. And I will say that this is a very handsome design as well.
Well, you can thank our member Rosemarie Wolf, who worked tirelessly with Robinson Iron and had them traipse through their archives to find something that was fitting of a female figure, because that's underrepresented here in Savannah.
So. It looks very nice.
Thank you. We're excited.
Is there someone else associated with the petition that would like to speak?
I can ask. Rosemary, do you want to say the significance?
You can or not. You're not obligated to, or you can. I was going to ask if the board had any questions. I mean, I do have a couple of questions, but I wanted to allow you a chance to talk first.
The placement of the figure?
We were going to have it sort of so it's not going to face Abercorn or...
I'm sorry. Could you just state your name for the record? I apologize.
Rosemary Wolf.
Hi. Okay.
We were going to have her tilted towards the Myrick House, which is her own house. So no matter where you enter the park, I mean, it's a beautiful female figure with just even the back of her is beautiful, side is beautiful. And it was originally cast in 1870, and it was used only twice.
Really?
And so it
was that in the application? No.
I don't believe so.
Okay, that's an interesting tidbit.
And we wanted the bottom to represent something, you know, floral, blooming, and it was very difficult to find. They only had herons and a plain one. But we really pushed Robinson to go back into their archives, and they found one that was never used, and it was originally cast in 1890. And so that's our bottom, and it's all beautiful daffodils, roses, and cattails.
That's really interesting. I didn't remember reading that, so I'm glad you mentioned that. That's really interesting.
Any other questions?
And I do have a question, but I'm going to open it up to the rest of the board. And hopefully we all had a chance to go over this. It was again, like I say, you did a lot of work on this, and it showed. So I thank you. Lisa, do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Hi. I absolutely loved looking through this, and I just had a few questions, technical questions. Does the basin have drainage for the flowers, do you know?
It has drainage for the water. It's just...
It is going to be a water.
Yeah, the water comes out of the top of the bowl, down her body,
okay,
into two tiers, and then it goes into the bottom and recirculates back up.
Okay, so I guess you'll be working with Parks and Trees,
yes,
to get the water. Okay, I don't know why I missed that. I get stuck on plants. It's my disease. The only thing I would suggest, and I think that she would appreciate this, is considering something other than boxwood that might look like boxwood. And I made, if it's okay, I made a couple copies of two plants that I think would benefit that are native. They both flower. And right now, boxwoods have a disease that's being carried to boxwood after boxwood, and I'm seeing them die all around Savannah. So you might consider that.
Okay. But the only reason we consider boxwoods was a hint to her garden at Wild Heron. We are certainly open to something that's native to Savannah and will have less prone to disease and upkeep, true. So
and both
very
plants,
open to that.
Okay. Both plants are larval hosts for butterflies, too. So.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
Okay.
Lisa's a native plant evangelist, so you came to the right place here. That was all. Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. First off, great idea. I think it's a wonderful addition. It's. I think this is the first time I've ever even seen a new monument with water features go in. My initial thought is, what other than wanting to honor Miss Miriak, what drove the thought process to want to create a fountain and not just put up a monument or a native species tree in her honor? Because yes, she planted over 530,000 trees. Just wanted to know what that thought process was.
Well, the idea for a monument came with our neighborhood borders three other districts on Victory and Bull. The Cohen Fountain, we drive by it all the time, and it's been hit by cars. It just looks very sad. And so we reached out to the city of Savannah and our aldermen and said, you know, as a garden club, I think back in the 1970s or 80s, we planted flowers around that, and it has since been hit by a car. It was repaired and different things. So we said, you know, maybe can we move the fountain someplace? If you look at the history of the Cohen Fountain, it's been moved three times from this two locations to the final one back in the 1960s. And I said, can we put barriers up? And they said, that's not safe. If a car hits it, it's too dangerous. I said, well, can we move it to Ardsley? You know, we'd love to have a fountain in Ardsley. And we were meeting with Gordon Denny of the Park and Tree Commission and our alderman, Nick Colombo. Gordon said, you know what? Why don't y'all think about putting your own fountain? And we're like, can we do that? And he said, yeah, you can. You know, he directed me to this commission to how to get started for it. And I went back to our members and said, you know, the city did tell us that they're looking at redoing that whole intersection. It's going to be a lot of money, $2 million. We don't have that. But to work with maybe the state, the city, the county, the railroad on that whole Bull Street railroad crossing, and the Cohen Fountain would probably be addressed at that time. So that's where this initially started, was us wanting to do something to preserve that fountain. We still would like to do something with that, but I'm assured that it's in the works somewhere higher above my pay grade, which is zero. but, you know, I think that that'll come in time, but that's where the idea came from. And then our tour this past year, our signature home was the Myrick home. And when we were doing our research, which we always knew she was the president of, or, you know, founded our garden club. But as we dug into more research, we're like, wow, this woman is pretty amazing. I want to be her. And just, you know, the things that she took on, even during World War II, to take, be a leader of 159 counties on the civil defense. And a lot of the things that she touched have disappeared. You know, the renovation of the garden at the widower's home on Broughton Street is now owned by SCAD. And I haven't been down there, but it's probably paved over for a parking lot. The garden she did for the Red Cross, that building is no longer, you know, that garden's no longer there. If you go down to, I always thought it was the Forsyth Fragrance Garden. As I got closer and did research, it was for the blind, and it was the first of in Georgia, and it was spearheaded, you know, Mrs. Myrick was one who said, hey, we need to put this in Savannah. This is a great location. But you go down there and there's plaques, everybody and their brother, but nothing about Mrs. Myrick. And that's when I said, we really need to, she did a lot for this city. We need to honor her. And this is our 50th anniversary of our garden club. It's like, hey, just everything aligned. And this is where, you know, we put together a committee, and this is where we came. We landed. So we're excited, and we hope that it goes through.
Could I also say something? The park, a lot of people sit there during their lunchtime, and I think the water feature is just so calming. And I live across the street from it. I walk my dog there every day.
Pam, could you speak into the microphone,
please? It would just be a great a respite for people to sit and have their lunch and have the water feature, you know, in the background.
Yep, that's awesome. And just two more points. One is a point of clarification. You made the statement that Director Denny is with the Park and Tree Commission. He is not. He's with the Park and Tree Department.
Okay, sorry.
I'm with the Park and Tree Commission. I'm chair of that, so yeah. that's how I said on this one.
Just I did do the research.
It's okay. I won't hold it against
sorry.
You. And I like that you're looking at doing things for people who have done a lot for the city of Savannah. I think that that's a very good and underutilized, I hate this word because it's, but it's the only one I can think of right now, tool, where we typically want to just look at people who may be from Savannah and they never returned. Oh, hey, let's put up a statue or name a park or put wreck the tree, what have you, right? I think that's good. So I really like that idea. And I definitely do echo what Commissioner Watson said a few seconds ago, where native species, the Park and Tree Commission for the past 9 years since I've been on it, have really been urging the city left and right to plant more and more native species and get out of this mindset of, hey, let's plant a Chinese fallow tree or a Lisa's personal favorite, I'm joking on this one, crepe myrtle tree. So neither are native to Savannah. So I definitely echo that one as well. But I really like the idea. Thank you very much for putting the time and effort into this. And I hope we see more of these things come in front of us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Sean. Does anyone else have any questions of the petitioner?
This is Catherine. I think y'all did a really great job with your packet. As Christopher said, we don't see things like that often come through here. I actually knew Mrs. Myrick. Of course, I was a baby at the time. But she would love this. She absolutely would love this as a testimony to all that she did.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yes, please.
There, I'm Alderman Nick Palumbo representing 4th District here in the city of Savannah, and I feel that they're not doing enough horn tooting. So I'm going to do it.
That's why you're here.
Well, to do it on their behalf, because it's important for the commission to recognize the contributions that these members of our city have made and the effort to raise the funds to make this possible. This was made through the extraordinarily difficult effort of organizing an annual tour of homes, which includes arm twisting, prodding, begging, borrowing, stealing other people's homes, getting them to open it up. They operate the entire thing themselves, ticketing, advertising, marketing, and it's entirely volunteer driven. And they've done this for many years and made contributions all over our city. And garden clubs themselves have made enormous contributions to our city. It is the women of our city that have contributed more to the public domain in our city's history than the men. Sorry, fellas. Whether they be the ladies of Historic Savannah Foundation, Claremont Lee, the first landscape architect in Georgia, or Miss Shelby Myrick, who have taken these ideas from Savannah to the rest of the state, and made an enormous difference in our community. The fragrant garden, beautifying Bay Street, the live oak trees, plantings, and even the place where I got married on Eisenhower Avenue, where all I could afford was $50 to rent the place, and they gave me a beautiful location right there off of Eisenhower. The farmhouse that's there, when Truman Parkway came through and was going to tear down that 1800s farmhouse, they took on the effort to move it to that location, and they've done this time and time again. So in recognition of Ms. Shelby Myrick, it's a recognition also of the contributions to the public domain that this organization and all the garden clubs have continuously made to our city. Commissioner Mannion had an excellent question and why a fountain. Just my opinion, I believe that these contributions stand on equal footing of those of the Marquis de Lafayette, and making a difference in our city, and should stand toe-to-toe out there, and why not a fountain as well, and something beautiful in honoring that heritage. So they've done incredible work. I'm, of course, here to support them. I think it's very special that we can recognize someone in this way, south of Victory Drive, with a fountain that's made such great contributions to our city. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you. And thank you for pointing that out. I mean, I think that it's important to say, I mean, all your points are well taken. And I think also the money aspect is not insignificant. I mean, because these things don't materialize out of nowhere. So you have to come up with the money. I mean, any project costs money. So, I mean, that's well worth it. And also it's notable that a fountain like this is, you know, outside of the downtown area is going to be, it's going to add a lot of beauty to the area. So thank you, sir. Appreciate.
Thank you. Yes, this past year, our fundraiser, the Tour Homes, was a sellout. Between our volunteers, which were 120, we sold 850 tickets. So that was the first year we did a sellout. This was only the second year we did it totally on our own. We had partnered with a few other organizations in the past, all volunteer-based, of course. But we are very proud of the work that we do, and we really want to share that and toot our horn, because a lot of times, and Nick spoke up for us, you know, we just like put our head down, go to work, and forget that we're like, oh yeah, that's the garden club. I'm like, well, yeah, we do some good things, and we don't toot our horn enough. So thank you.
I'm glad you're here to pat them on the back.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Does anyone else have any questions of the petitioner? I have a couple of questions, and I hate to be nitpicky, but
that's fine.
But that's part of my job here. I am a writer and a journalist, and I can understand you all research this very well, and it does look like it's researched well. But I do have to ask a couple of questions about the text of the plaques.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when we have the Georgia Historical Society does a lot of the historic markers. So we trust that they've been vetted and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that this information hasn't been vetted or anything, but I am sort of bringing up a question of how does the fact checking process work? And one of the reasons I asked is I see it says Savannah News Press. And is that meant to be the Savannah Morning News?
I believe so. I think that was the name of the paper at the time. I think it did.
Okay. I did look it up and I didn't see that name. And so and I only say that because I've written for the Savannah Morning News. Mm-hmm. And I know that when it was first started, it was the Savannah Daily News. If it had this name at some point in its history, I don't know. But that's one of the reasons that I'm just asking the question is how this was vetted.
Okay.
And so that doesn't mean that the rest of the text isn't factually correct, but it does make me wonder if it needs to be vetted somehow.
Well, I will say that one of our members is Karen Gross, who is a spouse of Todd Gross at the Georgia Historical Society. So I feel certain
okay.
we can get that fact checked.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. And because I know, I don't think that staff can correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't fact check the verbiage for these though, do we? So I just think that it's such a beautiful feature and it's going to be here for a very long time.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure that it's all correct, but that's the only reason. And so I'm not trying to be nitpicky.
No. We'll definitely run this by Todd. And like I said, I feel certain we can.
And maybe I don't know what I'm talking about with the Savannah News Press. I just did a quick Google search and it didn't register.
Yeah. It could have been the headline on something, one of the news clippings, but yeah, we'll run it by Todd. So.
And again, this is just one of the things that I always bring up in situations like this, because we have had issues before with larger installations, and this is such a beautiful project mm-hmm. that, and I know that there was a part in here about an escrow payment for maintenance, but I did want to just sort of drill down a little bit about what is have you had a discussion with Park and Tree about the maintenance? Because, okay.
Well, yes, as far as if it's dedicated to someone within the city, they do maintain the structure for us.
I know that they're supposed to, but and this is nothing against them, or Gordon is a great guy, mm-hmm. but they have a certain budget to do what they do. And if there's a feature of this sort, meaning like if it has a water feature, mm-hmm. there's a lot of moving parts. I bring this up specifically because the Yamacraw Art Park fell into mm-hmm. disrepair. And the reason it fell into disrepair was because Gordon didn't have enough money budgeted mm-hmm. for it. And now it's beautiful. They've refurbished it and it looks great, but it was a long time coming mm-hmm. to get it there. And I just don't want this to happen to this. And that's the only reason that I bring that up.
Well,
We have a professional here.
Yes. Thank you, Nick Palumbo from the City of Savannah. This was a healthy discussion with with Mr. Gordon Denny, and part of that was the identification of Robinson Iron. This was a contract that they had worked with before, and that they were confident that if although much more expensive to go with Robinson Iron for the initial cost, that they would be able to place that fountain on the same maintenance cycle as the others that are within the city limits for nominal cost.
You're saying Gordon or the iron department?
Gordon himself.
Okay.
That they would be placed on the same maintenance cycle, because Robinson Iron, in addition to selling the fountains, they'll come down to maintain them, and they do maintain those same fountain works here in the city. But we also had to promise that there would only be one fountain. So that was he said, okay, well, we can do, you know, we can fit one more in. And that certainly fit into the city's budget and expand that capacity.
Okay, thank you for that. That's very helpful. And I say that because, I mean, it would be a shame if mm-hmm. something messed up and this became an eyesore for some reason and didn't get fixed or maintained, because hopefully that won't be for a very long time or ever. But thank you, Nick, for that as well.
And I'll also say we have on our Garden Club, we have a project committee that meets with Gordon and his team each year to identify what needs attention in the 11 parks in Ardsley. I know for the past few years, we've really pushed hard to get the dog fountain working. And it, finally this year, it had to be order parts, and the pandemic kind of slowed things down. But, you know, we stayed on it, and we donate funds to the city each year to help with the maintenance of our parks. And I see that continuing for us. And each year as our fundraiser is successful, more money will be donated. This year, you know, the fountain project will take the bulk of that. But this past fall, or was it, no, in March or a few months ago, we gave a check to the city of Savannah for nearly $13,000 just for the renovation of Guckenheimer. They reseeded the field, and for Solomon's, a lot of new plantings. That was a joint venture with the Neighborhood Association. We paid half, and they were going to contribute half for that project. So we do work on an annual basis with the city on those parks, and if there's anything that we see that needs attention, we certainly try and contribute some funds to it.
No, that's great. I mean, you shouldn't have to contribute funds. This will be a public. This will be a public. But thank you for your for your contribution as well. So thank you. Now, this looked beautiful, and I mean, I just wanted to stay that way.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Sean has another question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Since you brought up the, for lack of a term, nitpicky, although I don't really think that that's nitpicky. I want to go back to the text in the two plaques. One, and this is entirely grammatical. One of the statements is, that's my comma world. So I know that there's basically, that's going to be the be all and end all of war is Oxford comma v wrong usage of comma.
Mm-hmm.
But, it kind of gives you where I'm standing at. So in the, where you've got, state capitalized, should that state be lowercase or should it be capitalized?
Nora, any thoughts on that? She's my grammar.
Right. But that's if it was, if Georgia was included, since it's just state, I'm only looking at it from, again, I'm not even bringing up the comma thing, but I'm looking at it from exactly what the chair had just stated is we want to make sure that it is accurate as best as possible. And yes, we have gone over verbiage before in the past. I know this may seem weird, but if you're looking at it from, let's say if you're down here from New York and you've got Central Park, you see a giant grammatical error, then that can very easily throw off your entire thing. I know when I travel around the country, I see huge grammatical errors. I lose all credibility in whatever structure I'm looking at. So that's just where I'm going with on that one. Okay. You might want to verify that the S should actually be capitalized.
Will do.
Thank you.
Mr. Okay. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Catherine. If we're getting nitpicky.
I started something.
News press was hyphenated.
News
press was hyphenated.
Okay.
Because they used to have the Savannah Morning News and the Savannah Evening Press.
Okay.
There were two daily papers.
Okay.
I know I'm aging myself again.
No, this is good information.
Yes.
They went to one paper. It was news press. And when they got rid of that, they just did the Savannah Morning News.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Just an aside.
Okay. Well, we will.
So, yeah, I think if we just vet it and make sure that all our I's are dotted and T's are crossed and S's are in their capital or lowercase and
we'll do that
hyphenated and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. If we get to part two, I'll address those.
Yeah. Thank you.
And reference the who I fact checked it with and things of that nature.
Yeah. I think Georgia Historical Society has plenty of credibility. So
yeah.
Any other questions? Okay.
Right. No.
Thank you so much. And thank you for bearing with us. This is a really important project. We just want to make sure it gets done correctly. We now can open the forum up for public comment. If there's anyone here for public comment on this petition, whether for or against, you're welcome to come to the podium and just state your name for the record. If there's not, we can move on. We also have an online forum. If there's anyone here online, doesn't look like there is. So there's no one here to speak for or against this petition. Did we have any letters of support, email support? I didn't see any, so okay. We can entertain board discussion or motions. I would suggest, I mean, I would like to amend, if any motion is made, to amend it to just having the text vetted. And was there another element that we wanted? Oh, the maintenance, just making sure that, I mean, I'm confident that you're in communication with Gordon, so that seems like it's taken care of. So it seems like the text, I mean, maybe just making sure that the text would come back to staff with a vetted and letting us know who fact-checked it. Was there any discussion from the board? I mean, this is a great project. Mm-hmm. Any motions? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation as stated. Wait, hold on, because I do want to make sure that the historical and grammatical issues are validated. So in my motion, would I just say pending historical and grammatical statements previously covered?
Maybe we say a motion to approve staff recommendation with the understanding.
Pending grammatical and historical accuracy.
Let's say the text. How can we say this more clearly? That the text on the plaques have been fact-checked. Does that make sense?
I make a – okay, here. I got it. My thinking out loud thing. I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation as stated, pending validation on the plaques of historical and grammatical correctness.
So the motion is to approve the staff recommendation with the pending the text on the plaques are historically and grammatically correct.
Yes.
Is there a second? So Nick seconds the motion, and we'll go down as we do. Nick, can you make sure everyone just make sure your microphone is on so we can hear each vote. Catherine, how do you vote?
This is Catherine. Aye.
Aye.
Eileen. Aye.
Lisa, aye.
Sean, aye.
I don't know if we did this when you were here, Nick, but this makes it easier for everyone to know who's vote. So the motion passes. Thank you all. Thank you all very much. We appreciate you. So we have two items of new business. You all don't have to stay. You can stay or not, but thank you very much. Thank you for your patience as well. There are two items on new business, and actually, Caitlin, do you want to talk about the notification process for upcoming unveilings, dedications before we go into the square discussion?
Yeah, sure. That was pretty – I think a lot of it has been resolved since we first discussed it, but it sprung from a need to make sure, you know, we tried to kind of have a clear channel of communication within MPC staff, the board, and city, or whoever might be hosting, if it's Georgia Historical Society or the city hosting an event for an unveiling or a dedication ceremony based on something that's been approved here. So we have since spoke with Luciana Sprager with the city. You and I have talked, and I think we're all on the same page of just making sure everybody's in the loop, keeping up with that. And we've also gotten on the Georgia Historical Society's events mailing list.
Yes.
So everybody should be going forward in the know for upcoming events.
Okay, yeah, and thank you for that, because there was one historical marker unveiling that none of us knew about, and I was personally I think a lot of us were frustrated that we weren't made aware of that, because I would have very much liked to have attended that. But that's water under the bridge at this point. Sean?
Just thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I don't mean to flood the bridge, but just out of curiosity, what was that one unveiling?
It was the historical marker for, I'm not going to remember the name of the person, but it was at the Carnegie Library. It was at the park across from the Carnegie Library on Henry Street.
Really?
Yeah. There was a lot of people there, and it was in the paper, and we didn't know about it.
Wow.
But
thank you.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who to blame for that, but I think it's resolved now, like you said, and we're on the GHS's press list and all this sort of thing. So we will hopefully be made aware of any unveilings going forward. But yes. Thank you for that. So now we're going to go to the discussion about the square naming. And I see some folks here, and I know you all, I'm assuming you all are here for about the square naming. I just want to make sure you understand the protocol. We're not going to have a public comment period for this discussion. This is just a preliminary discussion about how we are going to decide amongst the, I believe, 14 names now. Luciana, is that right? Or the 14? Because it's a lot, and I figure it's best for us to kind of have a discussion amongst ourselves rather than the day of when everybody's here and we're trying to figure out how we're going to approach this. I wanted to start this actually, Nick, I should give you a little bit of an update just quickly. So there's a square renaming, as you probably are aware. So this is going to go through so the city has done a couple of informational meetings, which I attended. There are 14 names now that are official, and I have the list here, and I can give everybody the link. I think I sent the link actually to everyone. You weren't on that list, but I can send it to you. They all have a link to the application. So this is going to be the most homework we've done, but we need to make sure we're all read up on all of these applications. And then it will be going to Park and Tree next week, right? Next Tuesday.
It goes on Tuesday at 5 p.m.
And that is at the Coastal Georgia
Center, 305 Farm Street.
So I'm going to attend meeting.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Also, a Zoom link as well, so you don't have to be in person for that. If you are a presenter, you do have to be in if you are one of the now 14 applicants, you do have to be in person. There is a – if you – are not able to attend as the applicant, you are able to submit a written letter to me, the chairperson, and make sure you also send it to squares@savannahga.gov. Did I get that right, Luciana? Square@savannahga. And then I can read it that way.
And those letters that go to square@savannahga will also come to this commission to be reviewed as well. Thank you for that, Sean. I have this information right in front of me. My apologies. July 18th at 5 p.m. Coastal Georgia Center, 305 Palm Street, is the Park and Tree Commission, where they will review these 14 names. On August 3rd, here, the Historic Site and Monument at 4 p.m., the Historic Site and Monument Commission will review those names as well. We will review the recommendations of Park and Tree. I think that's what we need to discuss now, is how that process is going to work. And then it's scheduled here, as far as we know, on August 24th, it is scheduled at 6:30 at Savannah City Hall, at 2 East Bay Street, for City Council to consider the recommendations from Park and Tree and Historic Site. And that will be the process as we know it so far. I will start the discussion by asking you, Sean, how you guys are going to do this, because I think that's going to inform sort of how we approach this.
Incidentally, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I love the look Luciana's giving me right now. She's just like, somebody put
Luciana doesn't want it. She wants to remain in the back of the room. Let's let her stay in the back of the room.
Sorry.
So, but did you all discuss this?
Yes, we've been discussing this since, I think, April, which is when it came out, okay. Roughly April, May timeframe. So what we have decided is, again, we're going to review all 14 applications. We are giving each applicant allotted amount of time. We're hoping that they limit the time because we do have to go through all 14. There's nothing else on the agenda with the exception of the typical Park and Tree report, then it's all this. We've tabled all other items until our September meeting. And we're going to hear everybody out, and then we are going to vote just like what we do here. And then we'll make the decision as to this is how we would like the chair, myself, to vote. These are our top, what have you, whatever number we decide. And then we'll go to, I'll take all of that into consideration. Then however we decide to vote from this commission, that's how I will vote. Most likely at this instance.
Okay, gotcha. And I
the actual process is going to be very similar to how we've done them all here, which is exactly kind of sort of like how we just did the monument one, which is the applicant will be read, the application will be read, highlighting it, what the name, what the suggestion is. I'm making this up. Let's say there's an application to name it, Dr. Nick Watson Square does not exist. I'm using it as an example. And then we'll hear from the petitioner. Board will be able to question that. Then we'll open it up to, if there's any public comment about that specific name. The public will not be able to question the board or anything like that, but it'll be the board will be able to, if needed, question the public as well, just like we do here with any other situation.
So okay, and you brought up a good point, which is what I was going to ask staff about as well, is if there were any other scheduled items for that meeting, petitions.
We do have a petition for a mural. So we'll be putting that one first.
So I wonder if, and I would ask this of the rest of the commission, because I'm going to expect, given the interest in this issue, that this is going to be a big meeting. And given the information sessions that the city has had, there's going to be a lot of people and to speak. Do we want to table the mural, discussion? I mean, or not? John.
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My suggestion is yes.
Yeah.
Emphatically yes.
I mean, that would be my preference. I mean, what is staff's opinion on that?
I mean,
let me.
I'm sure they won't, but I mean,
let me add a caveat to it. Because I'm already planning for a much longer version than what we had gone through. And I think, Dr. Nick, you were on the commission at that time with the Waving Girl statue. That one was, 2 hours long? And that was just that one agenda item. And then we still had maybe three additional items to discuss after that. And this is 14 different petitions.
I mean, surely we would do it first if we did it.
Going to say have a special meeting.
How does everyone else suggestion. Feel? How does each? I'm curious how everyone feels about this. Yeah, make sure.
Would it be possible to start this meeting just a little bit earlier to deal with the mural? Maybe 30 minutes earlier, or an hour.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. I'm open to whatever. Catherine, what do you think? Nick,
I'm unclear what my choices are.
The first question is, do we have another petition in addition to the square renaming? It presumably won't be that long, but I mean, do we table that until the September meeting? Or we could start the meeting early as suggested.
Well, I can table it.
Catherine?
I would prefer that we start the meeting earlier anyway, because we've got so much to do. But typically murals flow pretty quickly, especially since y'all have already vetted it. We'll have advanced knowledge of what it is. We've seen it. I think we could get that out of the way pretty quickly. But I still think.
I think for the mural, if I'm open to starting early, I don't want to start. I want to start at the regular 4 o'clock time for the square, just to keep everything official and everything. Eileen, what do you
think? Yeah, I don't agree with, postponing the mural because the people have gotten the dates
okay. And,
you know, all of that. But I would say starting that first and doing it earlier, maybe 3:30.
Yeah.
Lisa, what do you think?
I don't think we should postpone the mural because we gave them a deadline. It's really hard for artists to submit anyway, and now we're pushing them a month. I don't think that's fair. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Nick, would you be amenable to starting early? So maybe we start 15 minutes early. I don't know if we need 30 minutes for a mural. Would that be sufficient? Do you think?
I know we could present it within that time because past mural presentations.
Do you think it's going to be controversial? Is there anything about it?
It's the Vanna Bee Company's warehouse.
Okay.
And they just want to do like a bee type of mural on the side of their
warehouse.
So it's
pretty straightforward then. Okay. Okay, I would suggest then, perhaps then, if everybody is okay with that, then I agree that maybe putting it off, if they went through the process, that it's probably worth, like, not putting them off for another month. And so maybe we can start a little early. Lisa?
I have one question. So, Sean, if let's say you narrow it down to 5 Are we just going to discuss those five then?
No.
We're discussing all
of them. And the city was clear about, and Luciana, fact check me if I'm wrong on this. I will say this also, had a couple of discussions with Joe Shearhouse. He said that, it's our prerogative how we want to go about this to figure this out. The city council would like for us, it would be helpful for them if we gave them a top three, perhaps top five, maybe ranking them. That might be a difficult proposition. And that's kind of what I wanted to discuss. I guess it's a little bit hard to decide how we, if we're, say if one name has an extraordinary amount of support and then the rest of the 13 don't have as much, do we rank all of those or how do we want to do this? And that was what I was going to ask if Sean, if you were all planning on ranking them or having a top three, but I do think that it's certainly going to be really onerous to rank 14. I don't think that that's realistic. So I think that having a top three or a top one with a secondary contender or something like that might be the best way. But I'm curious to know what you all think.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. So just to clarify, yes, Mr. Chair, you are correct. We're not narrowing out, let's say 10 or whatever and say, oh, we don't like Dr. Nick Watson Square. We're not voting that one. We're only going to vote for, Eileen Baker Square. That's the only one that we want, right? We're going to hear every one of them and we're just going to say, hey, this is the ones that we think the chair should urge to support as much as possible for when goes to this commission. We haven't decided on a firm number. We want to actually hear what the people, what the applicants have to say. I've suggested anywhere from 3 to 5, but I've also had multiple conversations with Mr. Shearhouse, and I've also had multiple conversations with Director Denny as well. I don't know if you've had conversations.
I haven't spoken with Gordon, but Joe, yes.
He said we should say whether or not that they meet the criteria of a name, right? So it's at the end of the day, it's going to be whatever the commission decides at that time. I know that that's not a very firm area, and it's basically opening it up to a very gray area, but that's kind of where we were at. We want to hear what everybody and all of the different petitioners have to say before we say, hey, we're only going to look at, or we're only going to, for lack of a term, recommend 2 or 5, or maybe all 14 are huge, right? And maybe all 14 deserve a recommendation.
Okay. And I do want to be clear, and maybe folks already know this, but so this commission is not bound by what Park and Tree decides, and city council is not bound by what we decide. So these are recommendations. City council, it's their prerogative, as we have found before, that they can do what they like. But I would expect that they would weigh heavily our recommendation throughout this process. Catherine?
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering, are we going to hear each petitioner, hear them all through?
Yes.
Before we do anything else, is that what we're doing?
Yep.
I just want to make sure
yep.
I understand that.
Yep. So that alone is going to make it a fairly long meeting.
How we're going to go after that.
Right. This is what I'm asking.
I'm trying to think.
Because so it'll be like Sean said. So I'll just to clarify, it'll be this process. Each petitioner, each of the 14 petitioners will come up and speak and say what they want to say, and we can have an opportunity to ask them questions. And then after that, we'll open it up for public comment, and then there will be who knows how many people to speak on any given on petition. That alone is going to take a fair amount of time as well. Eileen?
Are you considering a time limit on the presenter and maybe the supporters?
Yes. And I think Nick, you were here with the waving girl, right? Because there was a lot of folks. If there are a lot of folks, I would limit it to 2 minutes. If everybody's amenable to that, for someone to speak, I think that's 5 minutes is way too long. I would not want someone to speak for 5 minutes. I'm sorry, Elise. After two people talk for 5 minutes, you'd be like, yeah, that's way too long.
I agree.
Nick, okay. I'm sorry, Sean. Hold on. Let me let Catherine ask one more question here.
So we have the 14 names and their petitioners. Since we are all really read everything ahead of time, we've all probably already read this anyway. Could we limit the number of people that speak on each petitioner's name? In other words, you know, I wrote the application. I come to the microphone. I say, you know, I want XYZ square. I don't need someone to reread the application.
Right. Okay. So you're saying you're not talking about the public comment period. You're talking about the petitioner.
Yes. I think we need to limit the public comment for each one, or we'll be here till midnight.
So I hate to say this, but I have to disagree. I think maybe Nick and I, or there was another chair that was going to limit that. I firmly, firmly believe that this is one of the foundational functions that we serve is as a public comment period. And if someone comes to speak here, I really want to be able to let them speak. I totally understand what you're saying, but with the petitioner, I think that it's very fair if everybody's amenable to it. With the petitioner, I think maybe we could say, have one representative from each petition come up and speak on that petition. And then if there are other people that want to speak on that petition, they can do that in the public comment period. Does that make sense?
And while the petitioner's up there, that's when we get to ask questions.
Correct.
So again,
yeah, I mean, I think so. I would say that we could say at the outset, I could say at the outset, make sure have one representative for each petition. If there are multiple people supporting a petition, then they could speak in the public comment period, which wouldn't be a back and forth question and answer. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you all? Any objections to that? I really do firmly believe that if regardless of how many people here, I really feel like they, if they spent the time to come here and say something, then they should be afforded that. But I do think we should limit the time so it's not extraordinary.
I have a comment.
Lisa, yeah. And then Sean, I'll let you comment.
Oh, no, I wanted you to go first.
So we listen to everybody. It's 1 a.m. This is just an idea because instead of having discussion in front of everybody, what if we wrote down our 5, joined together?
I think this needs to be as transparent as possible.
Well, then we would say what our tops were.
I think okay. So that's the process I think that we need to discuss is like how do we arrive at the And it's hard to, I mean, I guess it's hard to like have this discussion without knowing how much support each one of them have. So I know this is a little bit weird, but I guess I just kind of wanted to like iron out some of the bumps before we're having this discussion on the day of. But I hear what you're saying. I don't know if I favor a sort of like secret ballot type situation though.
It's going to be hard. It's not a secret. We would write them down and then.
Tally it up, do you mean?
Kind of tally up and see what the top 3 were.
I mean, that's a suggestion. I mean, we could also enter, I mean, I think in order to make it transparent, we could enter each individual's choices into the public record, so everything.
About a top 3.
How about a top 3? I feel like a top 5 might be difficult, but.
I think top 3.
Top 3 might be the best, and then maybe there's one. If one comes out that has more support, maybe we say, this is our top pick, and then here's the second or third.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, maybe it behooves us as individuals. Our top 3 don't necessarily have to be ranked by us. We just throw out what our top 3
Can you please
are.
Remember to speak into the microphone so we can hear
you? Oh, yeah. Could you move closer to the microphone?
We've got
to
record this. Thank you.
I'm sorry. As each individual member up here, we tell you what our top 3 are. They're not necessarily in rank order when we give you our top 3.
I see. It's just like
But if Sean's top, 2 of Sean's are the same as my 2 and year two and year two and year two, then that makes sense that that's a top pick. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That comes from the entire group. But I think I'm thinking along the lines that Lisa is that we don't want to sit here for hours and hours trying to rank each one of these as individuals and then as a group and then all of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that sound right? And I will also reiterate that, I mean, I think we do bring our own personal opinions onto this, but I think we really need to weigh heavily the public's will on this. So if they're, you know, so I think that I will go back to the pieces of paper that I handed out. These were from one of the sessions that the city had, and Luciana had put this together. And I believe is this on the website, Luciana, this history of each squares, or is this just something that you had? Okay, but so I've made copies and given everyone. So this has the histories of each square, and it is, if I read this correctly, the last square that was renamed was Telfair Square, and it was about 140 years ago. So this is quite a historic. Yeah, please fact check me if I need to be fact checked.
Just clarify. The list that I provided you is a list of the squares within the National Landmark Historic District.
Okay.
So I know there was some comment about Yamacraw Art Park being renamed to Yamacraw Square. Okay. It is not on the list because it was not one of the original squares within the Historic Landmark District. So I just want to clarify that.
Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate
that. Please identify yourself. Thank you.
Sorry, Luciana Spraker with the City Archives.
Thank you. I point that out to say that this is a very historic occasion, so we all need to take this, you know, as seriously as we do. I also think that we all can be, this isn't a very contentious group, so I think we can come to an agreement, a decision. Does having the three, writing down the three names, each of our three names, does that make sense for all of us? Does that make sense, Eileen?
I'm not quite certain right now that the number will be three.
Yeah, okay.
Two.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Well.
Right. But no more than that.
Right.
Okay. Sean.
So you're saying limited. So because my thought process was limited to, I mean, we will have listened to all 14 petitions, right? I think, and I like the idea of each commissioner having his or her top whatever, right? I kind of side with Eileen where I don't know if three is really going to be accurate, right?
That's fair.
I think it should be a larger number, at least, I'm not doing math right now, at least five, like you're one to five, right? And just like as Catherine had stated previously, no rank order. It's not like, oh, well, I really like Dr. Nick Watson Square, but that's a distant second towards Eileen Square, right? So I think it's, and maybe those are the only two that are very, that have any support at all, right?
Well,
maybe it's
just, yeah.
So I want to.
No, having gone to the city information sessions, that's why I went there, just to kind of gauge how many supporters there were for. And I have no idea what's going to happen, but it very likely would be that there's going to be a one name, maybe two, that are going to have the bulk of the support. And I think we can decide then. I mean, I'm open to that. I just kind of wanted to get a rough outline so we all are on the same page and we're not trying to bump into each other figuring this out when there's a room full of people or whatever.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that about the public taking the time, because I had one opinion, and when I heard everybody, it changed during the meeting. So it is very important to listen to everybody.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, actually. And I've had the same, and I think that's our role here, our job. One of our main jobs is just to receive the public comment and kind of make a decision on that based on that. I think that, Sean.
Sorry, I remembered what I was going to say previously. So I had two things to say. One, I want to say, Commissioner Watson, you were the one who I kept thinking of that, because I referenced the Waving Girl statue situation where a large amount of the, where myself and at least one other commissioner went into that thinking, okay, yeah, fine, we'll do it. But then we heard the public outcry, like, no, do not do this. And that's just, that's what really swayed us. I don't know if Dr. Nick or Mr. Chair, either one of you had that same mindset, but I know I did. And Lisa, thank you for mentioning that as well. That was definitely my mindset was,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, go ahead and move it. But then I heard the public outcry, and I think that that item cannot be overstated nearly enough. Is just like you had said, this is our main job, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've made it abundantly clear to the Park and Tree Commission, this is basically the most important event that has come up on the Park and Tree Commission, not just in the past 9 years since I've been on it, but since Director Denny has even been with the Park and Tree Department. So that out, that's like, I think he told me 20 years. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that number. Do not put that number in the minutes, please, because I don't know if it's right. But I know he's been with the department longer than I have been on the commission. So that kind of goes to show you how important this one specific item is. And if you're taking the time to even submit an official application, not just submitting a name through Instagram of Squarry McSquareface, really wish somebody had submitted that name, by the way. But you should be heard, right? And what I was going to say was you asked about the time for the square or how much each person should be allowed to present. I've been, as the contact for the Park and Tree Commission, I've been receiving a lot of emails basically with that exact question is what's the whole format going to look like? So we're not the only ones wondering, hey, how is this whole thing going to go down, right? I think the only people who don't have to worry about is Alderman Palumbo over there. he's third down on the list. He gets to watch us and Park and Tree crash and burn as this thing goes down. Like, hey, I'm not city council. We don't have to worry about it. We just get to learn from their mistakes. Just kidding there, Alderman. But I originally told him, yeah, you can have up to 5 minutes, but please be cognizant. There's a lot of people that have to speak. And then the city has also been saying, I know Mr. Shearhouse said, try to limit it to 2 minutes. So
yeah, I rest assured. I mean, I will try to make sure this goes as swiftly as possible without, you know, hamstringing anyone's ability to get their thoughts out or anything like that. Do we feel confident? Yes, Catherine.
Along those lines, Sean, I was thinking that maybe as an instruction should be that we've read the packet.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to reread us the packet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I want to hear is the passion behind why this makes the most sense for this community. Because that's what you're saying. You might change your mind to what you think would be the right one. And then you hear a groundswell towards something else. So that's what I want to hear. I don't want them to just read the whole
thing. Yeah, no, and I think that's a good point. I don't know if staff is planning on, you all aren't, you will go swiftly in presenting these, I suppose, right?
Yeah, so I'll be evaluated using the same criteria, the naming criteria. So we'll just kind of go through, present highlights of each one. And yeah, I don't imagine those taking long.
I mean, because it is worth noting that these names are, the city has determined that these names, and Luciana, correct me if I'm not right, but as I understand from Joe, these names have been determined by the city that they meet all the city's criteria to be considered. So if there was an application that didn't meet the criteria, it wouldn't be on here, right? So, and I think that everyone, I will make a point, Catherine, I think it's important that we all make sure, and I know we all will, to read all of these applications thoroughly so we come here armed with that information so people don't have to repeat what they've already done the work about. Do we feel confident that we can do this?
Sure. Yes.
I think so. I'm very honored to be part of this process.
I'll let you know on Wednesday.
I think that this will be you'll be the canary in the coal mine, I guess, or whatever. But I'll be at that meeting. So I think we can get a good, if anyone else has the ability to go to the Park and Tree, it might give us a window into what we can maybe expect.
Please make sure you don't have a quorum at that meeting.
Oh, okay. Is that a thing?
Yes.
Okay, so if more than three of us show up, that would be a problem? So no one else is allowed to go because I already said I'm going. Sean, does that include Sean? Because he has to be there.
He has to be there. So.
I'm the only one other that can go. All right. Sorry, guys. I'll report back.
So this is actually Pam. Thank
I didn't
you.
Know that. Thank you for pointing that out.
Only because that matter is coming before you. I don't want it to make it look like you were.
That's fair. And I didn't know that. So thank you for pointing that out.
So that's actually, all right. So I would count towards I want to completely clarify this, right? So I would count towards quorum for this commission while I'm serving as a different commission. I know this is going to get really.
It is a kind of tricky situation. And maybe what I'll do is I'll pass it by the city attorney to make sure, but I truly don't want a quorum to be there.
No, that's fair. And I'm glad you told me because I didn't.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because I never would have known. I mean, I don't think anybody would have even thought that.
No. But now we know.
So basically it's myself and.
Only because this matter isn't coming to you.
Right. I understand. Okay. Because this isn't typical that we would have something like this go to Park and Tree and then come to us. So I feel it incumbent on me as chair to go. So sorry. I'll let you know. Does this seem like a fair discussion? Is there any other, any loose ends? Nick, are you comfortable with this, Catherine?
Just build a break into the.
Say it again.
Make sure you build a break time.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
After seven.
That's fair.
Break.
I mean, I think we'll just gauge how, you know, we can kind of gauge how full the room is and how many people, and we'll have a sign up sheet, right? So for people that want to speak, I think we can kind of gauge it that way. Okay. Eileen, you happy with that?
I just have do you think it will go in order of what it's presented?
What do you mean?
The order that they present is the order on the list.
Oh.
The order that they are on the list that we got from the city is just what we'll follow. So,
okay.
So it's alphabetical.
That's what
I'm
saying.
That makes sense. So it'll be alphabetical. Okay. I think we know what we're doing.
It's the spring water, power bar.
I'm very, very happy
tissue.
About this. Sean.
That just reminded me. Would quorum if the people are attending virtually, because there is a virtual aspect to the Park and Tree Commission, would that still apply? So, for example, if obviously I'm going to be in person and let's say Eileen is also going to be in person, let's say Dr. Nick and Catherine want to attend virtually, that would that violate quorum or
I
is
think
it going to
be okay.
You'd be okay that virtual. Way?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's a good
watch.
Question then. Okay.
I'll make sure that I get the opinion.
If you want to verify that and let me know by Monday, that'd be awesome. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to drag it out.
No, that's fine. I think we're good. Is everybody happy with that? Okay.
Yeah.
Any other new business that anyone would like to bring up? Okay. We definitely are. I'm sorry, we're not going to have public comment for this period. I'm happy to talk to you afterwards if you like. Not about anything specific regarding petitions. So our next meeting is on August 3rd, and we will maybe schedule it 15 minutes early for the mural, but we'll make sure that it stays at four o'clock starting time for the square discussion. Okay.
All right.
Without any objection, meeting is adjourned.